It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day to come into the house of the Lord and to study the Word of God, so please that you listen very carefully. I'm glad that you've joined us. We're going to in the book of John, John chapter 9. We're going to read the first 23 verses, John chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. We have studied down through the 7th verse, and we'll begin the study there, but I would like to read the first 7 verses with that. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 23. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. We love to study the Word of God, and we begin quickly the study because it's such a joy and a privilege that we have, and especially as we look to this time in the Scripture where it's talking about this blind man made to see. The blind man can now see, and that's where we're studying today. It's an exciting time through the Word of God, as all the precious Word, God's living Word, is to us. John chapter 9 now, verse 1. I hope that you've had time and opportunity to open your Bible so that you can follow along with me. John chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is being by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? And he said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he had opened thine eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said the parents, He is of age. Ask him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of this word. Father, we thank and praise you that we can enjoy this time together. It's a wonderful time that you've given us to study your precious word. Help us to rightly divide it, that we speak the truth, and it's only the truth, Lord, that you may see it so clearly, and that we may know that it's your way and your will, and we may live accordingly then, that we'll come by faith to you and be saved, that we have that wonderful free choice, that opportunity, and then the decision that we need to make in service unto you. Please that you'll guide and lead us now as we study this word, that we may grow closer to you, or in many cases, first we need to come to know you. Please, Lord, guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We do love the Word, we love studying the Word, and we'll begin, as I said earlier, in the 8th verse, because that's how far we had gotten, but I wanted to read the sweet introduction to this and what has taken place. We have found now that this man was born blind. We know that the Lord Jesus called to him. First, before we even got that far, we went through a discussion that the disciples had with the Lord Jesus, and that is, for what reason was this man born blind? And we find the answer that Jesus has given is in verse 3, that the works of God should be made manifest in him, that God will be glorified. And we'll find here very shortly, he begins to give a testimony. And when he begins to give that testimony, we can see why that this man, why the Lord Jesus took something that had happened to this man. He was born blind, and he took something as that, something that would be a very difficult thing to live with, to be blind. And yet, the Lord Jesus used that he may bring glory to himself, not to this blind man, but to the Lord Jesus for what he's able to do, something no man can do. I must work the works of him that sent me, verse 4 says. Now, as we continue, and we find in verse 6 what has taken place. Let me read that for you. Again, this was the last time we were together. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. That's what Jesus did to the man. Look at verse 7. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Now there's several things here that we are going to take a look at in this sweet part of the scripture here. We're going to begin and look at what's taken place here. First of all, and most important, we must have the Word of God for salvation. We must hear the Word of God. Now this blind man, in the example that we have here, of a physical blindness, we've talked in the past of our spiritual blindness. We are born spiritually blind. We cannot see. Someone, somehow, has to bring light to us that we may, and give us life, and give us sight that we may see spiritually. We must be born again. Now this man here, he was blind. Again, we must have the Word of God for salvation. Keep that in mind as we're looking and coming through this area of Scripture. I want to go back to the Old Testament, and I want to go back to Psalms 119. Now, at Psalms 119, and it's going to be verse 130. Psalms 119, verse 130. And the scripture tells us, the entrance of thy words giveth light. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Will you today begin to listen to the Lord Jesus? You've been walking in your own way and your own will all this time, but will you begin to listen to the Lord Jesus? Will you turn your ears to him as he begins to speak to you? Because you see, there's nothing in you. You're a born sinner, you're lost, you're dying, and you're going to hell. You need a Savior. You need to be saved. You need to be set onto the path to heaven, that you may spend eternity not only in heaven, but in the presence of God as well. You have been separated from God with your sin. We're born into that. We need to have our sins taken care of, and we can do that by the beginning, by giving out the Word of God. Without the Word of God being given out truly and properly, that power, that light. And once again, I'm going to read for you Psalms 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. So let's listen to those words today. Let's listen very carefully as we continue this study and look through these words. The entrance of the words giveth life, giveth light. That's what happened to this man. He's received the light. What were the instructions? First of all, he spit on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Verse 6. Now, we find out here that first of all, Jesus needed to touch the blind man in some way or another. Either by his words, we'll find through the Gospels and through the Scripture, there are many miracles that are performed. And there is no set way that they are performed. One time it's by touching, the other times it's by speaking, and another time it may be by a messenger that has come and said, "My master's daughter, my master's son is sick. Will you come? Please come." And Jesus can speak the words from there, and that child can be healed miles away. The reason that we have no continual way of healing is because the Lord Jesus, the reason for him doing that is to show that he is God. The reason that we have the apostles doing such miracles is to show that they are sent from God. They have the power of God, and that was the beginning of the church, to show that yes, this is real, and yes, this is true. Now the Lord Jesus, as he performed these miracles, he would perform them differently every time. One to touch. One time they could touch his garment. One time he would speak. One time he could speak from a distance away. So many different ways. And yet if you'll notice today that our fake and phony healers, we don't have this anymore. We do not have this kind of miracles today. God can choose to heal, but he is not working through a man as he did through the apostles. So don't be deceived. If you've seen somebody that takes their hand and they can strike you on the forehead, and you've watched people pass out, maybe you've even been involved in it, or some man comes and he touches you a certain way, he lays his hands on you and you've been healed, it's a lie, you've been deceived, and it's Satan-driven. So I'm going to ask you that you stay away from it, because it's not the truth. The truth is that you're saved, you are made whole by the man named Jesus. Completely God, completely man, Jesus. He's the one that has paid our debt and saved us. It's not a way, it's not a feeling, it's a man, Jesus. It's a person. It's a person. Please that you understand Jesus Christ saved you. Don't be mixed up with the healing and with all those things. There's so much out there to deceive us and to set us the wrong direction. And I'm asking you today to just keep it very simple and keep it very clear. And we are saved by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. What's happened here? Again, many different ways Jesus chooses to heal. So that there isn't a way, and yet most healers today, fake healers today, always do it the same way. This is what works. No. That's not the way Jesus did it. Stop being an imitator. You know, one that imitates is someone that doesn't have anything. It's not real. And the very one that is the great imitator, and that's the devil himself. And you are copying him. So let's get back to the truth. Let's stay away from these false teachers and false ways, and let's begin to look to the truth that the Lord Jesus has given us by speaking his words through the Holy Spirit, through these men that we have the Holy Scripture as our guide. Please that you look very carefully. We come and we find out what has taken place. And once again, I'll read verse 6 and then we'll move to verse 7. He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. You need to be touched by the Lord Jesus. You need to be touched by the Master, the person, Jesus. See what happened next. He was given instruction. Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is being by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. We have the beginning with Jesus doing the work. You must be touched by the Master, by the Lord Jesus. It begins there. The blind man has been touched by the Master, by the Lord Jesus, our Savior. But the blind man then must obey. He must listen very carefully to the instructions, and he must do it God's way. We've talked about this last week. It's worth talking about again. He was sent a certain place, a certain way. Not that there was special power and strength at the Pool of Siloam, but it is the purpose of us listening to what God tells us to do, and then obeying. So first we have the instruction, we have the way. And once we have the instruction, then what are we going to do about it? Jesus has already touched this man. But if he had not listened, and if he would have just stood there and said, I'm blind, I'll be blind, I've always been blind, and no one can heal my eyes. And if he had not listened to the instructions, the proper way given by the Lord Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, if he had not listened to him, and many of you have not listened to him, you've went about your own way, and you're still blind. We'll find out at the bottom of this section, the last of this section that we read, that the Pharisees followed that same direction. They did not follow after the will of God. They did not follow the instructions. We can praise the Lord this man did. And I ask today that you begin to. Have you been touched by the Word of God? As God has spoken to you, He has touched your life. Now it's time to move on it, to be obedient for what He has said. Jesus touched this blind man with the spittle, the clay upon his eyes, and the blind man obeyed. He had to. If he hadn't have, he'd have stayed in the darkness. We know according to John chapter 9, verse 28, it says, Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. They don't have the light. They're not seeing. They're having a miracle performed in front of them. I have witnessed many miracles. And the miracles I'm speaking of that I have witnessed is that one comes confessing their sin and turning to Jesus as their Savior. That is the most beautiful, most powerful miracle that is performed in this whole universe, is that we have a God that saves us. And to have a life transformed from being hell-bound and a sinner to perfect and heaven bound. That is the greatest miracle. There is no miracle. People put so much pressure and emphasis upon healing and things of that sort, the physical body. That's nothing. That's nothing compared with the miracle of the new birth, being born again. But we must listen to the directions. We must follow the instructions, and those instructions are very clear. Whosoever confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, shall be saved. Now, are you ignoring that? Are you ignoring that section of Scripture? These men that he is speaking to find it difficult to believe. As a matter of fact, they refuse. Again, verse 7, He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Let's look, as we have read through these verses of Scripture, and we're going to continue this study. This blind man's part was to trust and obey. There is no other method, there's no other way to come to the Lord Jesus except for to listen, trust, and obey. Each and every one of you have a chance, have an opportunity to come to Him. Let's look at, I have listed here seven different things, I don't know what you want to call them, that this blind man did or didn't have. And again, remember, the blind man's part was to trust and obey. The man was born blind, number one. Number two, the blind man was outside the temple. He was shut out from God. He had nothing to do with Him. He was blind. Again, he was born blind. The man was blind. He was outside the temple, shut out from God, blind, blind from birth. He was blind and no human being could help him. No one could help. He was a beggar. He made no call to the Lord Jesus. And we find that no one had pity nor mercy upon him. This is the condition of the man. We find Jesus calls. He does not call for the Lord Jesus first. Jesus calls him. Again, he's outside the temple. He really has little desire for God, no desire for God. We know that he was blind. We know that he was born blind. We know that no man could help him. He was a beggar. He made no call for the Lord Jesus, and no one showed mercy towards him. Even the disciples that were with Jesus looked upon the man and says, "Whose fault was this?" That's not showing any mercy. That's exactly the condition that you're in today. But we will praise our God. I will praise my God because you maybe don't know my God, Jesus Christ. He calls. He spoke to this blind man. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. Let's listen to the words that he spoke. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. His disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day, the night comes when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said to him, the blind man did nothing. He did not call upon God. This is a beautiful example of the man's heart, of the natural man's heart. We have no desire for God. Totally, completely blind. That blindness is not God's fault. That blindness is a result from sin. Do we want to come back to the verse where they ask, is it the man's fault or the parents' fault? Let's stop looking at the blame or the problem, and let's begin to look for the answer, for the healing. And there's only one place to look, and that's to the Lord Jesus. You can look to any other man, but you'll never find help. That's the sad thing, because many people look to the church for help. And the preacher of the church does not proclaim the truth. And he goes through philosophy and the psychology and all that nonsense. And I say it's nonsense. And you said, you know, Larry, you can't say that. Yes, I can, and I already did. If you want to bring somebody to the light, you take them to the Word of God. And you show them Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You show them Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. That's the cost. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You bring them to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. And you look through those verses of Scripture very carefully. Because, my friend, you're blind and only the Word of God can change you. You have nothing in your heart. You have nothing in your life that will desire God. God has to do the calling, and God is calling all. Some want to teach and some want to believe that only a few chosen have that chance and opportunity. That is a lie. Every individual has a chance to be saved. Will you please listen today to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. I quote these scriptures many times, but I don't often read them, and I'm going to read them for you today. Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever, my friend, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, my friend. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. I ask that you will call upon him. We know according to Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Romans chapter 5, and the 8th verse, but God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Please that you look unto the Lord Jesus. Will you trust in him today? This man, this blind man, listened, and according to the 7th verse, he went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. He obeyed. Will you please obey the Word of God? Now, we have went through that. We've been back through it from the week before. I wanted to cover it again and to show you the condition that you're in, and I have read those 7 conditions. You don't think of yourself as a beggar, do you? But that's all you are without Jesus. You're a beggar. You're blind. No man can help. And we don't even have enough in us to call upon God. He has to do the calling. But the great words that I have to share with you is that he does do the calling. So, my dear friend, will you come today? What are you going to do about Jesus?